Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So here we are on Midsummer Night's Eve, right before the solstice. What a powerful solstice it is, because the Neptune dreams, vision, imagination is stationing tomorrow morning within an hour of the solstice, and we go, ooh, ooh. So there is an Arabic opening to fairy tales, and because Neptune's stationing now, everything's like a dream and a mystery, and it's for us to be calm, dynamic Kuan Yin. The metaphors we proffer now are eager to be animated. And what, you know, for 25,000 plus years, you know, humans have honored the summer solstice. And what has been going on there, again, all magic is literalized metaphor. Oh, literal and symbolic, same always. Light of sun, you know, come on in and illuminate this story, this painting, this writing at the back of the cave. For this is the story we seek to animate now for our community and the community of all beings. Shalak Nai, as they say, as Sarah James teaches us, the Gwich'in say, for all our relations. And we go, whew, we have so much incentive, so much incentive, so much life is on the line. And we are protectors. So the Arabic fairy tale opening is it was and it was not, right? So there we go. Okay. So we have planned, but again, we are fluid. We were doing Bodhisattva Coyote Presents Sufi Aikido Celtic Voodoo Radio on Midsummer Night's Eve. And we were to welcome, we'll see, the third Kahoot with Terence Ward, who grew up in Iran, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, the author of The Wahhabi Code, How the Saudis Spread Extremism Globally, which exposes the birth of the Wahhabi sect in Saudi Arabia, its global mission to convert mainstream Sunni Islam, and the risks this poses for the world, especially now. You know, may informed narrative liberating eloquence be an antidote to tyrannical bamboozlement, that we may re-enter Arcadia on this summer solstice eve. And Arcadia, you know, was a region in the central Peloponnese. It took its name from the mythological character Arkas, and in Greek mythology, it was the home of the god Pan. When my buddy our buddy David Grimes, was visiting Israel, he found it troubling and difficult until finally he crossed over barbed wire fences and went to the source of the Jordan River, which is in a cave dedicated to Pan. This is time, you know, this is the time when Mercury, Elegba, hands the baton to the moon, to Big Mama, come on home, track everything back to its source, right? The source of the Jordan River is in a cave dedicated to Pan, to nature. We go, ah. So Terence is in Ireland, and it's possible that the fey spirits may have spirited him away out of cell phone range. We are playful, right? But so this fierce protectress of life, of those in concentration camps, thank you, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, because it is absolutely true, this horror, you know, and there's so much cruelty on our before us, and, you know, and when we post things on Facebook and people are, well, what can we do, right? And we go, right. And it is very clear in the guiding astro-mythological story, you know, that now is a time where we invite in what's needed. You know, trickster Bodhisattva Coyote is willing to do the booking. We form dedications in our heart that anything in the way of kinship may be bubbled away from every participant of our rogue species. So it is Big Mama, protector of families, children, kin, and we say again, you know, as we have often said, Brer Rabbit, dare was times when all de critters used to gather to sagacuate, just like there ain't been no hard times, like there ain't been no fallen out, like they all remembered they were kin. This is it. You know, so the planetary guiding for today, this eve, this powerful time, the solstice tomorrow that wafts us into this summer, going, whoa, we're bringing all of our skill set, you know, known and unknown, who brought what, for sane reverence that our species may humbly cooperate with nature's guiding genius. There we go, Bodhisattva Coyote. And so off we go. Now, Cancer, the Cancerian realm, we love ancestors in the previous show, invoking them, and we need everything. We need everything. And the gates are particularly open. Whatever metaphor we proffer, whatever animation, whatever image of divinity or wisdom, you know, is eager to be animated. Again, that's the proffering of the templates that come alive now. And so Ancestor Jade Jacobs, wonderful astrological colleague, said one of his greatest astro quips. He goes, a Cancer is just a Scorpio and a house goat. And that's a wonderful thing to say. It's a very true astrological joke. All signs have their kind of PR, right? And Cancer's like, I'm very sensitive. I'm very... I'm also wrathful Dakinis. Wrathful Dakinis. Again, powerful metaphors to animate, you know, very, very happening now, this cauldron of death and rebirth. And the wrathful Dakinis know how to preside at that. They're a part of our ancestral wisdom. They cook the poison. There's so much poison. They cook the poison of anger and cook it into the tonic of wrath, fierce protection of the community life. Arvarna. They cook the poison of seduction into the tonic of magnetism, bring everything alive. It's all bodhisattva. It's all micro, macro. And part of the exquisite beauty of this astrological language is that it's a language of our interior psyche and its separation by a thin membrane we call identity from the whole vast, pulsing, collective dynamic, not just humans, although humans, we want to transform from the, you know, 14-year-old psychotic, uninitiated Mars rampaging through the world, Anthropocene, into the symbiocene. As Terrence and I have referenced before, you know, beauty and cruelty neck and neck. We're betting on beauty. Wherever there is a problem, you know, and there are so many, whatever, there's too much Mars and heat and anger and polarity, we go to Venus. Again, beauty, art, kinship. There we go. And it's powerful. So, we are cooking all these things in and diving for the deep historic sizzle, you know, about everything. What did everything want to be? You know, we cook it back to its originating, you know, liberating impulse and brew all things. Remember, so Big Mama is also the protectress of the Amazon and all of her children. She proffers the antidote to the poisonous monstrosities that feed on cruelty, you know, that are really bubbling forth. But this powerful time, remember, in alchemy, there's a powerful moment called the Negredo, and it's where each one of us, the alchemist, is holding the cauldron, the bubbling cauldron. And this is very in the story now, and it gets scary. And vapors of moral ambiguity and false flags and illusion and overwhelming delusion, you know, bubble out of the cauldron. And each one of us might get so spooked that we drop the cauldron, but that would be a great shame because it took a long time to get here. This is the turning point. So what we got to do, the alchemist, is raise their hand. We can do this. What the hell? James Hillman called it inflation, but you know, maybe not if you're driving. But raise the hand and invite in, known or unknown, whatever we need, whatever form you give it. You know, Kuan Yin, Holy Ghost, spirit of Bodhisattva Coyote. That's how I prefer to see the divine, as a powerful coyote bowing down before each one of us, dangerous in a good way, saying, woof, woof, yip, yip, want to play? We go, yes, we do. Come on in. Again, the model is, you know, the backstage would like to help, but can't unless we ask, which is why things are so humbling, intended to bring us to our knees, in which we finally go, help, we could really use some help. And the backstage is like, oh, thank goodness they asked. Now we can pour into the world, you know, and to see this in this participatory joy. So we'll honor the difficulties and then the cauldron. Remember that June 23rd is the most sacred day in all of New Orleans. I was there once with Jane DeQueer. Hi there, wherever you are. You know, great rituals take place, and that's when Marie Laveau and High John walk the streets. We welcome all desirable, liberating metaphors eager to be animated. So let's bring in the voodoo part of Sufi, Aikido, Celtic Mojo Gumbo. So Marie Laveau, right, we just bring her in, the great voodoo queen of New Orleans, about whom it was written by Michael Ventura. Marie Laveau did not create cultural movements. We'll come back to this. But a woman of her substance, that's in each one of us, regardless of our gender, age, race assignment, understood what was at stake, saw a role to be played and played it to the hilt, helping to coalesce a scattered and oppressed peoples into a moment of dynamic cultural ecstasy. And we go, right. Now, did not create cultural movements. What we're addressing is there are movements sweeping through the world. The outer planets really represent large forces of nature's intelligence that are the keepers of collective conversation, cultural and even biological. You know, and the Earth is alive, even more responsive. But it's also part of our dynamic. You know, I've been talking to people about this, you know, about can we cooperate, wheel and deal, democratic animism backstage, so that some of the horror which is unfolding and coming at us more could be negotiated to be metaphoric, some of it, if we make vows this summer and act on them. And where I kind of glean this from is, you know, the great Pisces psychic Edgar Cayce, you know, predicted that in the early 1970s, the East Coast of America would be deluged by a great flood. And what we had was Watergate, you know. And we go, wheel and deal backstage. If we treat water with more respect, can this be metaphoric? If we do this, it's time to experiment. And again, as Rick Tarnas has guided us to the kind of model of culture, we go, we start off, you know, humans, the journey, you know, it's all about tracking everything back and following the journey and realizing how we came to get here. So Rick says, you know, so we start off embedded animism, and the sense of individual self is a little dotted line, you know. And then we go to pyramids and things, upper, you know, hierarchy. And there's a lot of learning and ingenious Egyptian, you know, trigonometry, geometry, much learning, whatever. But we're getting to humans as most important, speciesism, chosen people, chosen species, uh-oh. Then we get to the church and state, Middle Ages, whatever, and it's definitely humans as the measure of all things. You know, and then we get to modern psychology going, enough with all that hooey, you know, let's get rid of all that. But the sense of self is a little closed circle, right, at the cost of enormous intimacy. And then the next step is where we're going now. But with all of the journey back into, you know, animistic participation, wheel and deal, everything alive, not just the obvious plants and animal, well, all of it, flora, fauna, but the car keys and the thing and the whatever. It's this serious, playful whimsy as an experiment that is eager. Uranus, nature's guiding genius, is in Taurus for the next 7 years and says, no, not 12. We have 7 years to address this for humans to return into the realm of biomimicry. Blessed Janine Benyus, you know, rather than looting nature, why don't we borrow her recipes? It's wheel and deal and in that way now. And we go, so Marie Laveau did not create cultural movements. They're sweeping through. They're here. We want to be willing to cooperate. And Hi John the Conqueror walks the streets, the great trickster, redeemer, hero, folk hero of the South, you know, written about by Zora Neale Hurston, a great touchstone in our council. Because it was said that, see, the trickster hero within all of us that wants to be born, you know, well, it's a birth time and a wedding time. You know, it's we give birth and we wed. That's the solstice kind of imagery. And so the rise of the liberating trickster quality, who's interested, like Scheherazade, like Hi John, in liberating the entire circumstance. The entire circumstance. And that's part of what the tricksters carry. It's not fair, but it's just, it's kind of beautiful that it falls to those who have been most oppressed to liberate the entire circumstance. And that the oppressor is actually seeking the medicine of what he or she oppresses in some way. It's just something to ruminate on, and there's many stories to that. So Hi John is one of those. You know, he comes across the ocean, and he's, you know, a syncretization of syncretizing of all the great cultures forced into slavery. You know, and he's interested in liberating the entire circumstance, finish everything off with a laugh, hit a straight lick with a crooked stick. His motto is, we find a way out of no way, right? And hit a straight lick with a crooked stick. And we go, oh. So, yeah, and Brilliant Medicine, Gri-Gri for now, Dr. John, the persona, the name was borrowed from a 19th century voodoo priest. And as he wrote in his autobiography, this is so important, in New Orleans, in religion, as in food or race or music, you can't separate nothing from nothing. Everything mingles each into the other. Catholic saint worship with Gri-Gri spirits, evangelical tent meetings with spiritual church ceremonies, until nothing is purely itself, but becomes part of one funky gumbo. And we go, oh, that's so great. Right, and again, this is the Dementors of Doom, or, you know, it's their worst fear, like, no, no, the purity of the white dingbats, no, no. And it's like, no, melting. Neptune says, dissolution is the secret of the great work. You know, Solway a coagula, dissolve and reimagine. There we go, into the bubbling cauldron of our gumbo. You know, we throw everything that wants to be transformed, you know, and we're going to brew a great gumbo out of all this poison transformed, right? So, you know, corruption into the cauldron and anything between us and kinship. For the trickster, we begin with what is being made so available to us, which is backstage. The initial realm of influence for the bodhisattva coyote trickster within all of us is backstage. Dion Fortune says, the purpose of ritual magic is to spiral into group mind, expanded wisdom and tolerance. And we might add many other things to that brew, but that's a good start, right? So if the Dementors of Doom, we want to compost conniption fits, then we have a nearly infinite renewable energy source. But we do want to compost the conniption fits because the Dementors, they're cunning. They're not smart, but they're cunning. They feed on polarity and anger and outrage and conniption fits. So they do these things that, of course, give rise to that naturally. And then so we want to transform that, like the wrathful Dakinis, into magnetizing the desirable story. Into, again, if they have kidnapped, you know, imagery and story, we want to give the authentic. May it resonate within all beings. And we go, oh, this is right. So, so that's the evolutionary moment that we're at as strategists, that to transform, you know, be agents of dissolving, here's the Aikido part, dissolving polarity, that we all dedicate to being agents of cool response in a hot reactive world. You know, and we go, we love democracy, we love Uranus, we love freedom. You know, to react to anything is not free. To cultivate an ever-expanding repertoire of responses is to ally ourselves with nature's prolific, you know, metaphoric and literal genius. And we go, that expanding there, okay. So that's, you know, again, part of that dynamic, because, you know, in common parlance, right, I don't want to be just a grumpy person, even by myself, watching the news, correcting language, going, because everybody says, what's your reaction? I go, response. How about a response? I don't want a reaction. That's a hot thing, right? I want a response, you know, which is more autonomy to it. So the gumbo we are to brew this summer is a welcoming of all liberating spice from myriad traditions, right? And so, yeah, let's be bold, you know. Let's. I remember, again, ancestress unknown who wrote an essay that was seminal to my life on the woman as traditional trickster. Whoever you are, I think you're an ancestor. Bless you. And she said it was a tradition. This is the rising back up of what's been suppressed that we need now. And she wrote, the purpose of the woman trickster is to mock the community because she loves it and wants to hold it to its standards, right? Again, spicy, liberating wit. And we go, huh. And there's the purpose. Oh, Neptune, come back thought. The brewing, wherever that thought was, the gumbo we are brewing. Okay, so there's so much incentive for magic as the antidote to so much cruelty. Venus, beauty and cruelty, neck and neck, we're betting on beauty and invoking. The responsive thing. So it behooves all of us, not under immediate pressure, right, to spiral forth, especially these days now, you know, whoosh, you know, witty, expansive, because also the purpose of the woman trickster within all of us, mocking the community because she loves it, but also to defy the authorities with swirling, spiraling wit and elan to demonstrate to others that she's done it and survived. I go, right, I have, great allies who are, on the border and doing what they can, but also part of their mojo is this calm dynamic, and may anyone in our aura, let's experiment with this without presumption, be safe and protected, and may we be agents of cooling out and path opening in miraculous ways for unlikely things to occur. We are willing to leave room for others to behave in unexpectedly appropriate ways. That's part of the dynamic there, okay? So, yeah, and then, we look at the relentless. The dementors are so relentless. Hundreds of new pesticides approved in Brazil under Bolsonaro. These are many that have been banned in the European Union. It's like, oh no. And our ally, Michael Stewart-Ani, hi there, hello, says, wake up, people. Bolsonaro is killing us all by killing the Amazon with pesticides. The Amazon is the herd's natural barrier from ancient plagues living in isolated creatures, and we are the herd. We go, there's fan mail from some flounder coming in there. There we go. Okay. There we go. All right. That's good. Now backwards, now where we are, back here. So, right, and we go, the Amazon teeming with so much prolific beauty, again, generosity and ingenuity, it poses the question for a long time, myriad decades, we've all known this, will we find the thing that heals us before we kill it? It's like, I responded to Michael Stewart-Ani going, it's Big Mama awakening solstice time. On the solstice, let's turn our attention to the chart of tomorrow. Venus, overhead in Washington, D.C., at the giving rousing speech on behalf of Earth degree, 15 plus Gemini, and trining the solstice moon, which is a white dove descends bearing a message of peace. And this is exactly trining Alexandria Ocasio's Mars in Libra. She's a Libra with the full moon, like Kamala Harris. These are woofy women. But Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's Mars, which Venus, rousing speech on behalf of the earth, is trining. We're all kinned. These are all parts of ourselves. And we go, oh, and do see knock down the house. It's such good, fabulous, medicine. But so the image for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's Mars is a boat dock wrecked by storms is getting repaired, rebuilding the entire world. And we go, all right, but it's going to be to and fro. It's going to be with nature. It's going to be with everything. Only magic will work now, right? And magic is simply a willingness to cooperate with everything. Not condone, but whatever comes our way, we're spiraling, dancing with it. And we go, oh, so there's so much generosity. The Cancerian planets, all right, so the sun enters Cancer tomorrow at 8:54 a.m., California time, zero Cancer, zero. It's Elizabeth Warren's birthday. She was born on the summer solstice with the sun and Uranus at 0 degrees Cancer. She's a trickster. She's a trickster, not to be underestimated at all. And I love Bernie. We love many, many people in the conversation. It's right now, it's not polarity. It behooves us, again, to transcend the constraining, tyrannical narrative of most what passes for news, right? That's why the mythic news and the participatory news and even the Jungian news, phallic narcissism went up 20,000 points today in a bold move to kill the world, or in a false flag opposition in the Straits of Hormuz, more back to that, Craig Murray, calling it out, a guest on the show from a long time ago, an interesting character, who knows much, and he said it would be insane to think that the Iranians attacked the Japanese when they were meeting with the Japanese as allies right at that moment, and the Russian whatever. He goes, this is nonsense, right? And yay Bernie for stepping up into the cauldron, and even if we don't know, we give the cauldron its intelligence, whatever is a bamboozling lie into the cauldron. And this is the time of the sun's height, a time of illumination. So we are encouraged to participate. What do we want illuminated? You know, what do we want revealed? And we go, absolutely, you know, anything corrupt brought up into light so we can then toss it back into the cauldron, you know, and compost it and ladle out, you know, sanity and spiral that out there, an irresistible invitation to humans going, snap out of it, you know, fierce protection of children, you know, where, you know, remember in the Aramaic, what comes to us as blessed are the meek, are blessed are those who soften emotional rigidity within their hearts, for they shall have all the power of nature. And we go, right, let's spiral that into the world. And that means for all of us, you know, what we do, ho'oponopono, what we do for ourselves, composting rigidity within our hearts or whatever, you know, that model of possession, you know, when we have a mean thought or whatever, and we go, I don't know what got into me. Well, it's the group mind, and it's available for download through thin membranes. So we want to be open and boundaried, selectively. You know, go, whew. But to also notice everything. And that's the model, that there is no strictly personal, that pressure comes down and it erupts through the most sensitive membranes, you know, and in some ugly ways, and then also good is possible too. Again, always the antidote. But that's why I love an ally who's a forensic psychiatrist who goes into crime scenes, and that we must maintain kinship with the perpetrator because it's speaking to us. A wise culture would want to know that. You know, children killing their mother, we are killing our mother. It's all a resonant thing rather than to lock it away. And right now, you know, what's coming up and bubbling is everything that's ever been exiled or dissed or imprisoned or undervalued. It's the return of the exiles. Because in this beautiful language, Neptune is where it's radical. Neptune, Pisces, 12th house, is everything that has been exiled, undervalued, dissed, imprisoned, but said to be where a culture's soul or its replenishing vision lives. So where it's radical, it says, oh, humans, don't be distracted by celebrity hoo-ha of any kind. You know, look at what is of great value that has been undervalued, that's where the action is. You know, and that's, again, part of our Pacifica KPFA, Goddess of Peace. You know, this is our primary dedication, and where we feel kinship, where we form an alliance, you know, where we might not know what to do, but we're completely willing. Again, we must return all children, you know, and in a fairy tale, it's a good time to do that. You know, when children are lost, you know, you go and you go, crows, do you know where the children are? Do you know where the parents of these children are? You turn to the other things. There was a fabulous Japanese Twitter thread, and it was somebody had lost their dog. And somebody jumped in and said, well, you know what really works is when I lost my dog, somebody told me to do this. I went and talked to all the street dogs and all the dogs around going, I've lost my dog. Would you tell him to come home? And an hour later, he came home. And then somebody else jumped in and said, you know, oh, same with cats. My cat went missing. And so I went out and I talked to all the cats in the alley and go, my cat, would you tell my cat to come home? And they came home. Anyway, it went on and on and on and on. Everybody chiming in, an adorable story. And we go, right, let's add some Japanese to the Sufi, Aikido, Voodoo, Gumbo, Japanese kami mix, right? Animism. They really know animism in the quirky culture. And so we want the animism intrinsic to all culture to be liberated and bubble forth, you know, this dedication to earth stewardship, like the Christian monastery outside of Syria, may it still be there, Dharma Musa, which was being dedicated as a place of, you know, Christian and Islamic dedication to stewarding the earth. And we go, right. You know, and we do explore, you know, the Dementors love to disrupt harmony throughout history. We look at history, the long journey. There have been times when all the religions and people, you know, were happy together. I think also of District 6 in Cape Town. I think it's District 6. But it was where it was happy and confluencing and syncretic, and the apartheid government said, no, everybody must move and we'll bulldoze it. And I remember my cab driver saying, but you know, they couldn't build there because they were haunted by the ghosts of harmony and the wonderful spices of everyone's cooking from different cultures, so nobody could build there on the destruction that they'd wreaked. But we had this memory of kinship. Well, that's what's really bubbling up right now. So team, we are We are in our solstice council, you know, to do real magic and mojo that is available to us. We'll be taking our very short break, and oh, why not? It was and it was not. We are willing to take calls if you have something to bring before the council, and ideally a critique and a blessing. That's our dynamic. Diagnosis is in order to heal. So you can call 510-848-4425, and we will be right back.
She shook the constellations and dazzled them across his eyes. She shook the constellations and dazzled them across his eyes. She showered his head with quasars and made his tortoise cry.
Oh, get down.
Chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home. Ooh, chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home. Telegraph my indigo skyship, make its voyage long.
Get down.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So here we are. You know, the solstice is a still moment, so it's like, sun stands still. It has reached its northernmost point in the sky, you know, and then tomorrow morning at 8:54 a.m. Pacific time, it will arrive at zero Cancer. And I loved also what Terrence Ward, our telepathic ghostly guest, did email to me after our last Kahoot, a beautiful mosaic from 13th century Florentine church of the zodiac. And he said, you know, on the summer solstice, the light crosses the zodiac until it arrives at zero Cancer and then goes, we go everywhere, everywhere. Mesoamerica, Ireland, you know, the Middle East. I mean, everywhere these live within us. And this earth reverence is rising up. And then how are we to, again, metabolize the poison? And we draw from many things. The sacred writings of Terry Pratchett, I so love his Taurus animistic self and his contributing that, you know, and an ancestor. And in a really pertinent novel, one of my favorites of his called I Shall Wear Midnight, it begins with the wonderful young girl witch, and she's helping the old patriarch to die, even though he was a terrible person, right? And she says, balance, balance. The first thing she learned in witchcraft was all about balance, how to let the pain flow through you, not into you. The center of the seesaw is neither up nor down, but upness and downness flow through it. And we go, yes. So we are welcoming callers at 510-848-4425 that everyone, we're all in this dream together, that everybody can be part of the Terrence Ward ghostly Irish spirits took him away, but we prevail telepathically. So let's go to our first caller, who's Sequoia. Come in, Sequoia. I'm glad that trees are calling.
You bet they are. This is the third time I've been blessed and honored to speak to you and listen to you on the air simultaneously, Carolyn. I've been listening to you for most of the 20-plus years you've been on.
Wow.
And what I am is I'm starting a music production company called Timeless Sound. We're going to be producing concerts for the forest. We're going to have mostly music, a word that means to dream something into being. I learned that from you. A woman of dire beauty. To dream something into woofy being, and that is while we're employing local musicians and visionary artist speakers like yourself, Caroline, we're raising money for Save the Redwoods Week to protect and rejuvenate our last 4% of ancient pristine redwood forests. Also, Center for Biological Diversity, which a subset is Ignite Change. We're saving the last wolves on Earth with our current wolf campaign, Ignite Change, based in Oakland. I'm based in Sebastopol. I'm a musician and producer. My email, anyone who wants to support this effort to save our last forests and all last species. And also, we're supporting Mr. Music Foundation, providing music for public schools in Sonoma. please, if you're a musician, a donor, a speaker, any way you'd like to participate in Timeless Sound, Concerts for the Forest, email sequoiarising@sonic.net. And Caroline, our people are going to reach out to your wolves and coyotes so yeah. you can wolf along and actually speak and sell your books or whatever you want to do on a Timeless Sound stage.
Beautiful. No, that's really great, and that's a perfect thing to bring up. Again, who brought what and these councils of kinship and all that you say is so dear to our my heart, and that's the part of the Venusian dynamic now. It's like, you know, our lives are spiritual detective novels, and whatever we love is worthy of honor and dedication and partnering. And so, yes, the trees, and the wolves, and that we need, you know, I think, let me toss this to you, but I think, you know, how shall we define everything? What is wise governance? What is, you know, but what is the purpose of humans, right? And I think it's the unique opportunity, responsibility of our species is to borrow qualities of intelligence from the plants and animals with whom we share this beautiful home under such dire threat. So, yes, and that's part of our syncretizing, going, all right, 2 drops of trees, sequoias, 4 drops of, everybody make their customized brew, you know, 4 drops of wolves. You know, I put in, you know, 8 drops of coyotes just for the fun of it. But wolves, they're so admirable. And if you've been hanging for 23 years, Sequoia, something I carry with me always from the early days is when the Lakota elder, we were talking about Stella Coyote, he goes, nothing smarter than coyotes, you know. And he said, you know, we Lakota did not hunt alone. Those gifted at trance and reverie, here we are, Neptune, pragmatic mysticism, would go backstage and would broker a working treaty or alliance with the wolves and coyotes, and we would all hunt together for a season. And if you want to destroy the world, destroy that culture, shame people out of what they should be most proud of, and then you can walk, you can colonize all over it. We go, ah. Anyway, so, yes.
I'd like to let you know, my Neptune is in Libra, your sun sign. I just
everybody's
thought of that.
Right. And well, everybody, almost everybody, no, that's not everybody. Everybody born in the 50s, early 60s, Neptune, Libra, but it is a generation. You know, it is the vision. Neptune called the higher octave of Venus, you know, you can track it. One of the best astrology lectures I ever went to in London a million years ago in 1971, it was Neptune through the signs. And so Neptune in Leo, right, the 1920s, the roaring 20s, Neptune enters Virgo, you know, 1929, party's over, tighten up. Neptune in Libra, all cool jazz. Neptune in Scorpio, this sort of sizzle thing. Neptune, so anyway, you can,
yes,
so now we're
cool
Neptune jazz. Pisces for everybody. Neptune, Libra, but it's a generation we carry that quality of vision. And Neptune in Pisces is in its home realm of everything that has ever moved humans to conscious kinship, saying here to everybody, you know, whatever you love, whatever science or dedication or story, it's available for fresh, liberated expression to spiral forth. So your dedication is to the trees and the wolves. Yes?
I have 3 planets in Libra and 3 planets in Leo, including the sun. We're going to get it done in fun style and bring in the billions to just protect the last of the wildlife areas as capitalism breathes its last gasp.
Ashe. May it be. We throw corruption and lack of kinship into the cauldron and ladle out exactly what you said. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your call, Sequoia. And let's go to our next citizen trickster, Art from Hillsboro. Welcome, Art.
Hi, that's Healdsburg. But in the excellent book Drawdown, Paul Hawken, he gives 80 ways to sequester carbon, and 59th in there is bicycle infrastructure, but that's based on providing the infrastructure like they've done in Holland and Denmark, and that's been over a period of half a century and stuff. We really don't have that much time. So what I'm doing is just riding my bicycle for fun and putting it out there that, you know, I got these self-help comic books I'm working on that I got to get out because you keep saying, you know, it's time for me to participate with my little chunk there, and this is what it is. And And, you know, if we just go ride our bikes in the infrastructure that's here, we'll create demand for the infrastructure. And,
right.
And we don't have to wait for bullet trains or anything like that because it's already here. It's just clogged up with what's killing us all.
Well, so this is your mission contribution, which is great. And then let me just play and contribute. You know, Saturn is a part of us that says, in anything we do, we get even more mojo out of it by just adding creative dedication. So see the backstage before the onstage, and so you can, you know, dress up your bike, you know, truly or just in your imagination, go, may whoever sees this bike be inspired by a desire for, you know, transportation and go, my bicycle, let me dust that off.
Yeah.
Or whatever. See, we're allowed to put in blessing of anything of which we would be the happy recipients.
Yeah.
May all who see this, you know, and this is where we want to play. Yeah.
And that's why I want, I've been writing about bicycles for 40 years, and I decided back about then to stop at all the stop signs, you know, and, and so, and then obey all the other laws, which, I was already doing, which includes, you know, staying 5 feet out from the door so you don't get doored when you're going down a street, and all those things. But that breeds community by, you know, coming to the stop sign. I get in nice offs with people. No, you go. You go. No, you go.
And slowing down.
Yeah.
Slowing down.
Yeah, and the traffic itself is traffic calming, because we haven't had traffic in Healdsburg ever until about 5 years ago. And so it's a new phenomenon for the people who have lived here a long time, you know, and it's only like for three blocks and stuff. And I can get around all of that on my bicycle legally, stopping at all the
stop signs. Now we're going to focus a little bit. Do you have a blessing to spiral forth? Just make it concise. Here we go. A blessing to spiral forth into the group.
Just, the blessing is that against being depressed by the entire extinction, just say, well, what the heck? I'm going to go for a bike ride and enjoy heaven right now.
That's good. No, concise.
Right there. Yeah,
yes,
concise.
Linguistic precision guides the vision.
Yeah,
all right, thank you very much, Art from Healdsburg. Right, again, linguistic precision guides the vision. These are we're all befoibled. These are aspirations. There we go. So let's go to our next agent of Bodhisattva Coyote Trickster Citizen, Jenna from San Francisco.
Hi, thank you so much. And I confess, Jenna is not my real name. Can you guess my real name? I am multicellular, autotrophic, eukaryote. I perform photosynthesis. I am carbon sequestering. I'm part of the Green New Deal, but nobody talks about that. I am the number one cash crop in the world's fifth largest economy. I'm uninsured, but people want to do something about that. Kamala Harris wants to decriminalize me. Cory Booker wants to legalize me. Barbara Lee wants to legalize me. And she is on a congressional committee that has to do with me. Have you guessed mine? And I provide wonderful alternative pain relief to opioids. No, you don't need that.
Exactly.
And let's see, I keep veterans from committing suicide, and I de-escalate violence. Have you guessed my name yet?
Yes, there are so many names. I'm still fond of, even though the cannabis community goes, no, don't call it marijuana. I go, I love marijuana, Mary Jane. But yes, you are in many forms again.
Yes.
Yes, I think it's beautiful, even though I got some guests got grumpy going, no, you must call it cannabis. It's like, no, there is no must.
Marijuana.
Yeah, no, we love that. No, absolutely. And again, so many shows that we've done. And here's a fascinating thing about micro. I love Karen Sanders saying, you know, she's tired of all the ayahuasca heads. She said we can microdose anything, you know, blue cohosh. But then with Martin Lee, he said a fascinating thing about, you know, THC cannabis pain alleviating is one dose good. If you double the dose, it halves the efficacy. If you triple the dose, there's no pain elimination at all. And we go, There's an interesting mystery. Okay. You know, and I think with the micro dosing, but, and then there's, you know, and then there's the full on, you know, again, we are large in our responses and experiment, you know, different times for different dosages and chronotherapy and no, but absolutely all that you say. And that is also part of the whole entheogenic dynamic of the plants wanting to heal us, right? Wanting to heal our sense of kinship. So thank you that the plant herself is calling in. That's great.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. And so I think the plant withdrew, but wonderful to be got a call. And we have an interesting, a great name coming up here. Our next citizen trickster is Demetria from Ojai. Demetria, welcome.
Thank you. I just wanted to say, as an older woman, I wanted people to feel what I feel, and I'm not sure how to say it, but I feel that what's happening with us on Earth is that us women do not realize that we're not just women, we're goddesses too, and it's time for us to come into the goddess part of who we are at this time. And so my way of doing that is to do ceremony. The earth needs ceremony. The goddess needs us to talk to them, to ask for what we need, and it's time for us to do it, and we have to go from what we know and pray your way through. And that's my message. The goddess is waiting to arrive, and I feel it's coming out of me, and I had to call and say thank you for all you do for everyone.
Oh, beautiful, sweetie. Yeah, well, thank you. Reciprocal blessing. May it go well for you and for you. And, you know, again, Jupiter is at its perigee, its closest into the earth. Everything's trying to help us. And its opposite, Venus, woman gives rousing speech on behalf of the earth. And so our callers are living embodiments of the astro story, as we all are, which is really great. And that syncretizing. So, yeah, the ceremony. Absolutely, and goddesses, and yes, that's a perfectly true, great thing to say, Demetria, wonderful goddess Demeter, founder of the Eleusinian Mysteries. Again, the great image of Demeter with the snakes, you know, holding sheaves of wheat, disciplined sexuality, and the snakes coming up from the underworld, whispering the secrets of the underworld into her ears, right? Again, the snakes as allies. Remember that Neil Douglas Klotz said, when Jesus said, be as wise as serpents and as gentle as doves, he says, the word in Aramaic that Jesus would have used is the same word for snake, wisdom, and, you know, and Eve. And we go, and that's when I said to him, so all subjugation of the earth and women and religious wars is a translation error? And he goes, yeah, pretty much. Right, so it's like, oh, the wisdom again. We are here to heal our and mend our broken treaties, and you know, I say agents of because I agents of goddesses, agents of forces. Let's say that all mythic figures are animations of intrinsic intelligence in nature, right? And everything's eager to be kind of liberated, you know, from its anything, you know, into its available vernacular, and each one of us to be voices and fresh expression for that which we hold dear. And, you know, and again, may we get to beseech the fairy world, the Neptune Pisces fairy world, you know, whoever's willing. Again, it's a to and fro doing. If our hearts are truly dedicated, you know, grant us irresistible eloquence and the capacity to open doors and walls and bridges. You know, Uranus's image right now is a cantilever bridge over a rocky gorge, getting from here to there. It's high John again, got to find a way out of no way and hit a straight lick with a crooked stick, right? So we call on all of these beings, right? High John and Demeter and brewing and the beauty of Islam and the Islamic chart, which has a Uranus, Moon, Mars, Neptune conjunction, intrinsically beautiful and liberated, all coming alive now. And may it be, again, against all odds, we leave room for unexpected things, just the desirable. Because Neptune says, don't put realism to one side, right? Don't let realism be an impediment at the moment. You know, just invite in, because the chart of Islam for June 19th, 622 AD, Muhammad rides into Medina. It's a great chart. Thank you, Sylvia Hanley. And it has Venus at 12 Cancer. Well, the U.S. Sun is 12 Cancer. Wouldn't it be great if the liberated beauty of Islam in all of its Sufic, heart-opening, ecstatic, beautiful poetry, you know, we've already seen, you know, through agency, you know, Rumi smuggled in, Hafez smuggled in, that it find a great home in America, that it's the medicine that America needs, right? Again, what is most reviled is most needed. There we go, and we're brewing that. And I do want to just, yeah, you know, that we have more people soon. That's really great. But you know, I do want to. Oh, that's good. Well, a thought went away. We'll go to a beautiful Imuna in West Virginia. Welcome, Coyote Trickster Ally Imuna. Hello, Imuna from West Virginia.
You hear me?
Yes. Now, now we hear you. Hello.
Okay. Very good. Hello. Can you hear me now?
Yep. A little. Speak a little louder, please.
Hi. Hi, you know what?
Uh-oh, we're losing you.
Is this better at all?
Give it a try. Go for it.
Okay, so I'm going to try like this. I just want to second what the person before said. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being such an amazing agent of this harmonious co-creation of a story that we all yearn for. You know, by Piscean Neptune right now, I just am so grateful to be one of the rainbow people that really wants to include everybody in the new story. And I'm so grateful. Only a couple of years ago, I barely would have noticed what's going on in the sky, and now it's becoming more clear, and I can celebrate ceremony with you and truly, truly look forward into moving into transforming what is going so awry right now with the mother. And I just want to thank you. And my big one right now is Lakshmi Shekhina Yin. That's who I am. I'm just really honoring and allowing and wanting to live through me. So, and slowing
and
down is a wonderful
and
thing.
And what is the medicine of the Lakshmi that you're kin with? What is that medicine?
It's the beauty. The beauty, you know, the healing of slowing down and recognizing what is so beautiful. I'm actually, as we speak, stitching the last literally 20 stitches of a piece that I've worked on for a year. It's a blanket with a mother elephant and a calf elephant that I'm making for a couple just before their first wedding anniversary as a wedding gift. And it is the elephants, the mother elephant children that are walking home, that can roam in safe ways. And we are bringing that by listening to the beauty and bringing that into every little moment. And yes, responding instead of reacting is being aware of beauty.
Right. Well, you're doing a beautiful thing. Again, one of our favorite guests, Max Dashu. Hi there, Max. Remember, she said, again, because we're composting the long inquisitions in their myriad forms that are so strong now in their delusion. You know, but Max says, remember in Europe that women would weave blessings into what they were weaving, which is what you do. It's so great. I am the grateful recipient of things that you've woven blessings into, and it's such effective magic. She said the Christian monks came along and they said, no blessing, no singing. They would sing the blessings, no singing. And we notice that sometimes you women gaze into water and go into reverie. No, we outlaw reverie. You know, and again, it's the world now. No Venus, no art, no reverie, no blessing. And we go, no blessing, reverie, art. So thank you very much, Imuna. And since we're, again, who brought what? You know, when we go, fabulous, just a woof to Katie Porter, dedicated, lucid, trailblazing competence, you know, the medicine of that, you know, in our collective team going, the Slovakia elected the first female president, environmental sane reverent person, right? I prefer that to the term environmentalist, a sane reverent person. We go, that's really great. And then let's also remember, Julie, I'm going to forget, and I love attributing, but wonderful essay on the goddess Akilanda. Again, all of these metaphors are bubbling up. She wrote this a couple of years ago, and it's put Akilanda up, and it previously obscure him. Hindu goddess, and it's said that her name means never not harmed or damaged or something, and she rides never not broken. She uses her brokenness as a blessing. She rides on the crocodile of her own fear. Whoa, there's a good image. I think that's a good one also, too, for the summer, going, woohoo! And there are great images of Akilanda riding on the crocodile of her own fear, making an ally of the scary thing. There we go. There's right. And that's also part of our dynamic, Mars and Cancer, going, to each one of us, what's our ride? You know, do you want to ride in an alligator of your own fear? You know, whatever. You know, just many ways to mythologically garb ourselves, right? Going, what are the qualities we want to have, and what is the effect? You know, everything right now. You know, Jupiter has a quirky angle to Cancer, so it says, all right, everybody, I will make you wealthy by your definition of wealth. What's that? You know, not limited to money, doesn't exclude money, but what is a wealthy life for each one of us? What is a wealthy community? And we go radically traditional. In all cultures up until just a minute ago, wealth was a wealthy community protected its children, its environment. You know, it's elder stories. It's and so by that measure, of course, we're completely insane, because that which would be protected has been slungshot into vulnerability. And that's the only time I want to use that word vulnerable, because it's a war term. It means woundable. And so I want to throw the bamboozling of using vulnerable as a term of virtue into the cauldron, just for the fun of it, because I think it's a snookering, because it means woundable. Love makes you vulnerable. No, obsession makes you vulnerable. Love is really good for everybody. Love sets you free. You know, it's not a condition, you know, it's not a, it's like, and that's the Sufic, Aikido, voodoo, gumbo, you know, it's a toast of that, you know, at our summer solstice, midsummer night's dream. And we go, that's really great. Okay, let's see if we can fit in Andrew from Southern California. Welcome, Andrew.
Yeah, greetings, Colin. How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Awesome. Yeah, I want to discuss climate change. I think I want to talk about I think we need to take a different approach to climate change.
And again, it's a huge, important thing that you brought up, and we're on our way out, so it's going to be precise, but you have a minute.
All right, two reasons why we need to take a different approach. First of all, climate change is just one part of the environmental crisis, and it's eclipsing the other things that are going on. We need to also pay attention to things that we know are going on, like destroying our forests, like our redwood trees that Sequoia was talking about saving, and species going extinct. We're losing about 200 a day, and all the pollution, all the plastic, all this other stuff. So we need to address that as well.
We do. It is all one story, and I'm going to guide you right now to what is your succinct blessing.
I might also, can I say real quick?
No, we're on our way out. It's the art form of succinct blessing.
I say that we all cope to climate change. We can't stop it. We adjust to it, we cope with it, and we adjust to it, and that can become a positive thing, not such a scary thing.
Excellent. All right, we are on our way out. What you say is very worthy of hours and hours, and it is important for our council. But yeah, Bob Goff used to sign off everything going, climate change is inevitable, adaptation is optional, but not really. So let us be artists of atmosphere. Let us be contributing to the atmosphere conducive to the desirable. Let us be public dreamers, joining with flora fauna to be effective kind agents for what we love. Thank you, team. You know, thank you, guest that didn't show up but was telepathically present. Thank you, Erica Bridgman. We will reconvene next week. Woof, 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 woof. Yes, thank you.